questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to IRB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode. And you're hearing me from Q&A on Islamic belief, in which we shall discuss some very controversial issues. Well, without further ado, I would like to go directly into the main of discussion. But before that, I would like to introduce my guest. Welcome, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I'm so happy to meet you here again.
My pleasure.
So here with us, we have Dr. Karimi. And in this episode, we're going to discuss some debatable questions. So stay tuned. Today's question says that, does it mean that being related to the Prophet equals to being justified all the time? I mean, if you are related to the Prophet in a way that that person is his wife or the father of his wife, that means they're entirely true and whatever they say is going to be looked at something like truth.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To have a very concise answer to this question, to be related to the Prophet in and of itself cannot prove that you are with the truth. Yes, it can be a privilege as long as you're going to take benefit from that. And this is the message that we can get from the Noble Book of Quran. Like, so we are not, I mean, talking against these people and for these people. The point is that being related to the Prophet in and of itself, it cannot be a sign, an indication to the rightfulness of those people, them being preferred over other people and so on and so forth. Now, the Quran in this regard says, talking about the son of a prophet, that is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. We know that Prophet Nuh was very concerned about his son when the flood was coming. And we know that his son was a disbeliever. And seeing the concern of the Prophet Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Laysa min ahlik. He is not a member of your family.
So we have also a proof in the Holy Quran.
Exactly. So biologically speaking, he is the son of the Prophet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
and he's been nurtured by him.
Exactly. But spiritually speaking, in the case of the Prophet and his wives and his fathers-in-law, we're talking about a relation through marriage. But here we're talking about relation through blood relation, a father and a son.
Which is stronger.
Exactly, much stronger. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he's not a member of your family.
Mm-hmm. Meaning though that he's your son, he could not be considered a member of
point.
Your family.
So to be the son of Prophet Nuh is a great privilege as long as you are taking benefit from that. But if you're a disbeliever, you are worse than those people who do not have such
privilege. Yes, or
privilege.
You have to stay truthful to your father.
Exactly. So this is one indication from the Noble Book of Quran. When it comes to, spouses, again, we have a couple of examples from the Noble Book of Quran. We have the case of Pharaoh and his wife, Asiya, who was, a great lady, a virtuous lady. But the husband is such a, wicked person like Pharaoh.
Yes, a sinister.
Exactly. And the other is, as mentioned in the Quran, the wife of Prophet Lot, or Lut. Here we have a prophet, his wife is a disbeliever, according to the Noble Book of Quran, and she is punished later when the people of Lot are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt, we have the example of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, our second Imam, and his wife who somehow murdered Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam.
He pointed she had a hand in his murder.
Exactly. And the same is true about Umm al-Fadl, the wife of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. So the point is that this is the first point that I would like to share. This is the fact that these relations, and I mean such kind of relation in and of itself cannot prove anything. And we have very explicit examples in
so
this regard.
So just being a family member doesn't mean that you are related to them.
That's the point.
Or whatever you say is going to be taken as a truth.
Yeah, let me give you another example. The story of Prophet Lut is very famous. We know that some the people of Prophet Lut were famous for a very indecent action. And once when he had some guests who were actually the angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of Lot came to the Prophet and they wanted to commit the same action. And then addressing his people, Prophet Lut alayhi salam said that قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَعَلِينَ chapter Hijr verse 71. He told the people that if you're looking for satisfying your sexual desires, then you can marry my girls. These are my daughters. You can marry them. Now, it has a very important message that sometimes a prophet like Prophet Lut alayhi salam, in order to prevent a very great sin, he is ready to permit his daughters to get married to some bad people.
Yes, exactly. That was the question I was going to ask you. Then why these prophets marry the wrong people?
It has so many reasons. When it comes to our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, I will explain about different reasons. Again, we do not mean that we attribute bad sins
bad things,
to the
yes,
wives of the Prophet,
no.
And so on and so forth. The point is that when Prophet Lut alayhi salam is ready to allow his daughters to marry such people, it means that such relations in and of itself does not prove anything. Mm-hmm. But here in this case, why Prophet Lut alayhi salam is suggesting that? Because of a more important expediency. They are going to commit a great sin to somehow, harass and bother the guests of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, who are angels. Yeah, and this is an illegal action.
Yes.
But Prophet Lut alayhi salam is suggesting at least a legal action so that to prevent a very illegal action. We're talking about sodomy.
So the first reason is to prevent something very bad.
Yeah, that's the point.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Now, when it comes to, let's talk about our Prophet and his wives and his fathers-in-law. We know that mainly we're talking about Aisha, the daughter of the first caliph, and Hafsa, the daughter of the second caliph. Mm-hmm. Again, they are the wives of the Prophet. They are Ummul Mu'mineen. But it doesn't mean that they are, immune from any mistake. They are infallible.
Exactly.
No. They are like any other person, they are responsible for their actions. And especially regarding these two wives, Aisha and Hafsa, we have a verse in the Noble Book of Quran in chapter Tahrim because of the fact that in some cases they bothered the Prophet. And this is not a claim by the Shia. This has been mentioned in Sunni sources as well. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very threatening tone, chapter Tahrim, verse 5, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن تَلَّقَكُنْ, it may be that if he, that is the Prophet, divorces you, أَيُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ, his Lord will give him, in your stead, wives better than you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains about those wives. So this is one indication from the Noble Book of Quran that again, to be the wife of the Prophet does not guarantee that you are a virtuous lady. No, you're responsible like any other.
And actually, the Prophet had some goals and some messages from marrying those people because they were an entire different tribe. Therefore, in order to extend Islam and in order to have more power than the others,
that's a very,
this marriage happened.
Valid point, and let me refer to more details in this regard about the tribes. Yeah, the tribal relations mattered a lot in that time.
In those times.
Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, was from the tribe of Taim. Hafsa was from the big tribe of Adi.
And they were very large tribes.
Exactly.
So they had very important power.
And I will explain how these, marriages of the Prophet prevented many wars.
Exactly.
And how they were attracted
saved
toward
many
the Prophet.
Many people.
That's the point. And many of them converted to the religion of Islam.
Exactly.
Another wife of the Prophet is Umm Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan from the famous tribe of Banu Umayyah. Can we say that so Abu Sufyan is a very holy man because his daughter has married the Prophet? Of course not.
Of course not.
Umm Salama is from the tribe of Bani Makhzum. Suda is from Bani Asad. Maymuna is from Bani Hilal. And Safiya belongs to the Jews of Bani Mustalaq. So, he was an ex-Jewish person. So, on that time, marriage between two tribes meant a lot.
Exactly.
Now you are a person related to that tribe too. Which
and
means
of
that
course, Islam was new at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had to work on it and let that tree grow and have some fruits.
Exactly, that's the point. And interestingly, we do not see the marriage between the Prophet and the tribes of Ansar, the helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Because according to some scholars, there was no threat from coming from the Ansar. All the threats were coming from the Quraysh or from the Jewish people.
Exactly.
And that is why in many cases the Holy Prophet marries
their
a lady.
Daughter in order to save other people.
Exactly. This Christian author writes that Prophet Muhammad married Umm Habiba so that he would be the son-in-law of Abu Sufyan, and this way he decreased the enmity of the Quraysh and Banu Umayyah. And they were happy that a person like the Prophet has married a woman from that tribe. It's been mentioned that Umm Salama, when the Prophet married Umm Salama from Banu Makhzum, the same tribe of Abu Jahl and Khalid ibn Walid, from that time onwards, we know that Khalid ibn Walid was one of the greatest enemies of the Prophet. But after this marriage, he somehow, he changed a lot, and finally he embraced Islam as well. The same is true about Juwayriya and Safiya, who belong to Bani Nadir, Bani Mustalaq, and so on and so forth. So my point is that when it comes to the marriages of the Prophet, in many cases the Holy Prophet married these people in order for him to attract the attention of the people of
into
those
Islam.
Tribes. And
so just to wrap it up, I would say that these marriages, at those times, marriage was not just a matter of marriage itself. It was more of extension of Islam.
Exactly.
So that is the point. You were listening to Q&A on Islamic Belief. This is Arab English Radio. Thank you for listening. Until another episode, I bid you farewell.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن. إن في الجنة نارا من لبن، إن في الجنة نارا من لبن، علي وحسين وحسن.